Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day it is to be with you guys on this April the 8th, 2025. It's a beautiful morning out there. Sun is shining. It's a little bit chilly, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be. They said flash freeze, and I'm thinking Arctic blast or something, but it wasn't that bad. All right, it's chilly, but not that chilly. It's good to be with everybody this Tuesday morning. I'm just excited for what the Lord has in store for us this beautiful day that He has made. And whatever you're going through and whatever you're facing, let me just declare over your situation, He is more than enough, my friend. Mm-hmm. He's able. He's still able to heal. He revive. He's still able to deliver. He's still able to save to the uttermost. He is able to keep His promises. He's able and He's willing. Amen. He is for you and not against you. He is with you every step of the way. He will not leave you nor forsake you, but He is with you, my good friends. If you don't know Him today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to call upon Him. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, declare He is Lord, call upon Him, and He will answer, my friend. Amen. He's at the door of your heart knocking. Will you answer this beautiful day? Well, it's Tuesday, so we got the Raise a Hallelujah Hoo-hoo! Crew in here. How here you doing, Miss Jeannie?
Hey, I'm ready. I've had a workout this morning already, spiritually and physically.
Hallelujah.
What do you do in a flood? You walk above it.
Woo, glory. Glory.
Just take the high road.
Just take the high road.
You just walk the rope, baby. Rock the rope.
It's that old hymn, I'm pressing on to higher ground.
I was praying. I was singing every song I knew, Isaiah. It was great, though. But I'm glad to be here. So
glad to have you.
You know, I thought if there's any way, and you know, I'm a can-do person because yeah. God's a can-do.
Come on.
He doesn't know that I can't place that yeah. He come to. So I knew there had to be a way.
That's right.
So we found the way.
He is able.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, too. I'm doing absolutely awesome.
Hallelujah.
There she is.
Hello, Hannah.
Good morning. Uh-oh. Morning. She can't say anything yet. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, she's not mic'd up.
I'm mic'd up.
All right. Good morning.
There you go.
Yeah, we're excited. We're excited to be here always with you guys.
Amen. It was a great Tuesday last Tuesday. We're expecting more this morning.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
So y'all better brought the boom here.
Brought it.
All right. Well, big news out there. Y'all ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Well, it's not really breaking news. It was 1 hour ago it was released. But for us, it's breaking news because I just saw it. Bridge is open on 737.
Oh,
one
wow.
lane. One
wow.
lane's open.
That
so,
is big.
So you'll be able to at least get through one lane, I think.
Yep.
So... that's very helpful for people.
Yeah, my cab's taking me to the grocery and over to Hardinsburg, so we can go there first.
What an amazing cab driver you got today.
I have a great cab.
I love it.
Yeah.
She called me this morning. She said, I might not be able to make it. We're running a little bit late. I said, I'll be over. I mean, I was ready to drive to the High Line where she was walking out.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm going to get her today.
We could have took a boat and come got her.
One way or the other.
We could have done it.
One way or the other, that girl's coming out.
I did the boat. In 2011, I did the boat.
Yeah.
But I'm not that person anymore. It was cold out there today.
I bet it was.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to oar. You couldn't motor. You'd have to oar out.
Yeah, there's too much debris to run your trolling motor or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure. I was looking at pictures from Louisville. For after the banks and stuff like that, where waters got up and just all the, well, you can even see like where the other day when we was passing through 737 right before they closed the bridge, all of the trash and all of the junk that blows up into these things.
It's gonna be awful.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad.
You know, we tease over in my neighborhood because we're completely surrounded by water. There's no, you know, you have to find a way out, and. We said we'll list all our properties as lakefront properties right now. And then our neighbor's firewood is floating in the lake. So we said, well, we'll put a sign up, free firewood.
That's the way you do it.
It's the deck on the back of your house is the deck that leads you to the water.
Yeah.
Step right off of it into the water.
I tell you what, though, it's been, it was really You know, you hate it for properties, you hate it for people, and especially the four people who's lost their life in the flooding this year.
Oh my goodness.
This time around, it's been awful, and of course the weather we've had has been extreme and intense.
Right.
But so I want to make sure I clarify, we are praying, our hearts go out to all of them, so I don't want to minimize that, and that I want to make sure I establish that. But to see the spillway and the ferociousness of that and the way it's cutting through everything, it is a pretty amazing sight, to be honest with you.
It is. And it still is this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pumping. And we saw it Saturday twice, just through happen chance, that like early in the morning, it was just kind of a gentle stream.
Right.
And then where it's at today of just the ferociousness of it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the hotel water down there is flooded.
Right.
We used the bathroom down there Saturday, and then 2 days later it's completely under. Mm-hmm. it's crazy how it works like that. And so then we went out to Green Farms yesterday and saw all that, where the tailwater pretty much goes.
Wow.
And that's just the everywhere
falls
over there.
It's gone, isn't it?
It was up over the cabins they built, like,
wow.
You know, not over them, but you know, they're up there. Then all of the land that you come through there, and then all the new roads and stuff back there are blocked, and the road by Green Farms underwater. So it is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of water back there.
But is that over there where the Green Mansion?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the bridge, that like old looking bridge, is completely.
No, it's not under.
No, it's not under.
No, you can still walk across
but
that.
But the falls is probably non-existent.
Yeah, not right now. It's just, The problem is water, it doesn't even look like it's moving that fast, but it's moving a lot faster than you ever think it is. But it just keeps
underneath.
Backing up in other places too, because there's so much water coming out. So it's devastating for some people's farmlands and property. And, you know, there was one picture of a bunch of campers flowing down the river the other day, and, it is devastating for people, and our prayers are with you, but it is also at the same time, like, it's something to see. We probably, let's say we probably hope we never see this again like this, mm-hmm. but it is something, it's like a historic event. And, mm-hmm. and it kind of gets my nerves. Every storm's a historic event now. Every time we pick up the radio turn on television or radio or anything, historic weather. So that kind of gets my nerves a little bit, but this one really was historic.
It was.
And so it's a lot of rain that we got. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's the third one I've been in here since I've lived here. And, by far it went beyond, but you could tell.
Yeah.
So we were prepared because we knew what we were looking at.
I think at this point we broke the record by 4 feet, didn't we?
I'm not sure.
Because I think it crested out at 531, I think is what the highest it got. And before it was 527.
I judged it by where it was at my burn barrel.
At your burn barrel?
Yeah. I knew how far it was going. I was moving my chickens yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I saw that it had stayed. And I went, yes.
Yeah, I've got pictures of your burn barrel here.
That's her rain gauge, huh?
That was my rain gauge.
Yeah.
Somewhere they had said how many gallons that accumulated from the rainfall in Kentucky, but how would they know?
Just by gauge.
Rose,
just regular,
I guess.
No gauges. Ooh,
Miss Melanie sent in a picture this morning. She lives across from State Park. And their whole property is flooded, but their house is safe. Praise God. Yes, amen. Amen.
The people's, you know, just this is their life. That's just keep your life.
Right.
And we'll deal with the stuff afterwards.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. We'll be, help out. Throw a hand to a neighbor locally whenever this water resides. There's going to be a lot of trash to pick up, a lot of limbs, a lot of debris that's going to be in all these properties.
This will be the thing nobody wants to hear, but. This happened the last two, and I'm assuming it'll happen on this one. There will be a lot of snakes.
A lot of snakes.
You need to pay attention. They'll be there.
Because they'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, there will be a lot of snakes.
If her face looks like the people on the other side of this mic, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well, if it makes you feel better, it's not going to be so much snakes here. It'll be a lot more snakes along the river.
Yeah.
That was kind of like prophetic. That's why I made that face. Someone out there listening knows why I went silent for
prophetic.
A second. Yeah. So
you've seen a few already, have you?
I didn't. Something that was shared with me, it just clicked right there, like right along with their dream. So, but
all right.
I think it could. It could, can be prophetic. But speaking of spiritual things.
Let's do that.
Because that was kind of, it just kind of like, you know, when you when you remember something or like something clicks, you just kind of zone out for a second. That's why my face looked like that, Miss Jeannie. But I'm with Heather Wilson. I think of when the rain came like that, the song Firm Foundation. Mm-hmm. The rain came when she had shared that somewhere, said it somewhere. And I was like, me too. Like when it starts to storm really bad, I think about that song. But my house was built on you.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's really good.
And that is so important that you say that spiritually. You know, everything in the natural has some type of spiritual behind it, meaning, and you can take almost everything and bring it into the to our life with the Lord. But that when he talked about a firm foundation, if you can't see and understand that now, as we watch buildings floating down the lake, how important it is that you dig deep in your relationship with the Lord. That it's not surface, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many Christians have left themselves to a surface thing, and it won't stand this kind of storm.
Right.
It won't. Yep. So, I didn't mean to get off on that because I know that we probably got other things to say before we get all deep. And
we can save them at the end.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was the whole snake thing. It really just took me somewhere.
No, it's good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. I can do this really quick. April 11th to 12th, Glory Conference, Edmonton, Kentucky. April 16th or 19th, Pastor Dwayne Kidd and Creekside Church with their community tent meeting, 6 o'clock p.m. nightly. And then our resurrection plays right around the corner, April the 19th. That's a Saturday night starting at 6 o'clock, and then again Sunday morning at 10:30. So, again, that's Saturday night, 6 o'clock, and then again Sunday morning at 10:30. Amen?
Amen.
Whew. And let me say this. We will not have, unfortunately, because we had about 30% of our play crew there Sunday at church. Because of the roads, we're going to have to do play practice this Wednesday night because we can't miss one. We only had two left, and we missed one, so we have to make that up somewhere.
Right, right.
So we will have no regular Wednesday night service again here Wednesday night. I hate to do that, but we really don't have a choice because we've got to do it. So
crunch time.
It is crunch time. So
but plus, we have like a lot of props and stuff.
It's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to do still. So no Wednesday night service here regularly. We will have play practice. So if you're part of the play and you're listening and you haven't heard, we're going to be here at 6 o'clock this Wednesday night for play practice. And then next Wednesday night, we should be back to regular schedule. But you know, Miss Karen and Miss Jeannie's going to have church in the car enough today to last 6 weeks, and so it's going to be the Holy Ghost Cab. All right, Miss Karen's going to start a company, Holy Ghost Cab. All right, you get in my cab, you get the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Let's go for a ride. I like that.
Go for a ride in the Holy Ghost.
I like Holy Ghost, but a lot of people I'm finding out. Struggle with the fact that you call him the Holy Ghost. They want him to be called the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost sounds a little scary. I was like, I never thought that, ever. Did you? I mean, I guess maybe the circles of people that I've been around, I don't know. But it always sounded, Holy Ghost sounded powerful.
Well, you know, coming from somebody who loves theology and distinctions and gets probably overly protective on some things, you know, I think sometimes we just probably have a little too much time on our hands. there's probably a lot bigger things we can do to pray about or to seek the Lord about, whether it's, you know,
spirit or ghost.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, but you really do. I mean, I didn't even know it was an issue.
Yeah. It's a big issue. It comes from, I won't get too far into it. It the ones who argue against Holy Ghost, it comes from it comes basically from a technical Greek construct. And they feel like Constantine and the Catholic Church did it on purpose for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that's what they feel like. And so there would be some meat to chew on, to think about. But for me, I think it's an intent of the heart thing. Like if you say, it's like for me, if I celebrate Christmas, there probably is some pagan roots or something like that, but my heart's pure and I'm not.
Right.
And so I think that's it for me. Like, we've got to stop like perpetuating everything on every single body, because if our heart's pure in something, and we're not connecting with the wickedness or the covenantal thing behind it, and when we say this or that, or if I open presents on Christmas morning, there's no way that's to Nimrod. Nimrod's not even in my head at that moment.
Right, exactly.
I want to celebrate Jesus, and I want to love my family well and just celebrate the goodness of God, you know? And so I think we can redeem situations and stop being so uptight and religious on some things.
And I think some of it's worldly. I mean, absolutely. They think a ghost is Halloween, and they, it goes back to what you're saying, but even words used in the Bible. I mean, hate, and
that's a big one. Man. You can open a can right there.
And but I mean, it's written in the Word.
The way I see it too is like, were some of these things established before the enemy came along and tried to pervert it? Because like, ghost was around before there was ever the spooky ghost.
The Holy Ghost
has been around forever.
Yeah, that's so right.
When, Holy Ghost was first, and then all these other things.
And how old are you?
Imitated. And the same thing even with Christmas, like the love of God and giving to one another, all the things that happened during the season were around way before Nimrod was even born.
And like she said, somebody perverted it.
Yes, it was perverted
and
along the way.
They're wanting you to fall under that perversion.
Now, Halloween can be a different story, but we won't get on that. Not until Halloween.
I'm sure we'll be on it a lot. All right. I think this does have to go back, and we'll get into 1 Corinthians here. I forget which person we had this conversation with, Hannah, because sometimes our mornings run together every once in a while what we talk about. But which morning did we have the conversation about, I think it may have been Jason, about there is an aspect where we've taken the mystical, the supernatural, that other unseen world away from God. Like, everything has to be natural. Everything has to be seen. Everything's got to be something I can understand, something that's logical. But you look in the Bible, like, there is this, and mystical is not something that's demonic necessarily. Right. Mystical means something that's just like, it's a mystery. It's almost like it's this supernatural, spiritual thing happening. And God is a very supernatural, spiritual God. And there's a whole unseen realm that we're not even processing and thinking about, because everything's got to be on this plane. And whenever it's just on this plane, then that's all we can handle. But he's able to do far above all I can think or imagine. Like, and Paul's talking about, he knows a man talking of himself. I went to a whole third heaven, a whole third plane kind of deal, if you would say that. And so I think sometimes we just need to break the box that we put God in and realize he's way more supernatural.
I think I heard it on this radio broadcast last week. I'm not sure, though, but I heard somebody say it. They was talking about, you're trying to make God so natural, so friendly, so understandable. Mm-hmm. But see, he's above that.
Right? He is.
He was supposed to be past finding out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what he revealed of himself is very supernatural. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery.
It is.
And so we don't need him to be our best bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need him to be far above that.
Yeah,
and that's what he is. And sometimes I think people try to keep him so friendly. I don't know what other word there is.
Well, I think a good way to look at it, I think you've maybe said this similar before, Aaron, but we want to get him down on our level, but he's trying to get us on his level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, we want to pull him down, but he's trying to get us to come up.
Yeah.
Well, you see the signs in the yard, just be kind. Just be kind, you know, and again, I mean, it's, I know.
We got so many worms opening up here.
I know.
And it's like, unfortunately, what we've done, we've talked about the holiness of God, we've just made God moral. And so we equate morality to holiness. Morality is a consequence of holiness. So holiness produces morality, but holiness is that we completely separated ourselves from everything. We were different. We're unique. Holiness is the word Kadesh, which means there's no one like him. Mm-hmm. So when we say holy, 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 it's not just saying you are so moral. It's unreal. No, we're saying that you are totally different than anything, anyone, or any God that I could ever conceive, conceptualize, think about, meet. you are different. You hallowed be thy name in the Lord's Prayer. You stand alone. Oh, yeah. That's the holiness of God, is that there is no one like him.
And you know, when that word enters the room, or mm-hmm. when that word exits your mouth, or even in your thinking, when that word holy is there, when that word worthy is there, it changes things. When you're thinking about God, when you're declaring holy, holy, holy concerning him, it changes. You're putting him where he rightfully belongs, but you're putting him there mm-hmm. to the highest degree that there it could ever be. Mm-hmm. He is there. Mm-hmm. And it changes everything.
I love the God in my life who can be so personal,
mm-hmm.
who can come sit down beside me and be the friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Right.
And I love him for that day, but I also love the God who can walk in the room and say something and it sounds like thunder.
Right.
And
that's
I know
right.
the power of heaven has showed up.
Exactly.
And I'm a little bit, you know, but yet, oh, I want this. Mm-hmm. I want yeah. this, but, you know, just the he's beyond me. Mm-hmm. And I need him to be beyond me. I don't know about y'all. I need the God of that I can't understand, but I know from his word, I'll show up. Are you going to show up as my friend, or are you going to show up like thunder? But either way.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
It's either gonna way. Good. It's going to be good.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the friendship, though, we can still call him holy because
yes.
he's not just like us. I think that's the danger, is when we want him to be like us.
Exactly.
Instead of us be like him.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a thing that went through, you know, I talked to a man who's gone on now, and I asked him before he passed away. I said, is everything okay? I mean, are you good with you and the Lord good? And he said, oh, me and Bubba are fine. Bubba. He called God Bubba. I thought, I could not believe it.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
And I'm like, oh, I don't think you're fine. I don't think you're fine. You don't see him like you need to see him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of times we like a God that we can control. So, and we don't like a God that controls us or leads us or guides us. We like a God that we tell what to do.
We don't like a God that has an expectation and there are requirements.
Yeah. We don't want to change. Mm-hmm. Well, we got plenty of time to talk today. We are gonna do 7 or 8 minutes of 1 Corinthians because we are trying to finish up this. Well, oh gosh, we're not gonna get done with 14 today, but we'll get a few minutes in here. So we've been talking about tongues and then prophecy. You know, again, this is somebody like I used to think radically different about tongues until I started studying what Paul wrote. And I still believe wholeheartedly in tongues. I think there's guardrails that Paul's giving us here so we don't keep falling off the cliff. And we've seen where, you know, we've seen tongues be very fruitful in our lives, but mm-hmm. we've also seen tongues be very unfruitful at times. And Paul's dealing with that. And Paul's trying to reconcile how the body's supposed to do it. And he says, this is the last verse we really read yesterday, 12. So yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So he says, since you are eager for these spiritual gifts and you are eager for these manifestations, make sure you're using these manifestations to excel in building up the church.
Right.
Like, they're for a purpose. They're not just so that you can be very spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's for a purpose. And he says, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue shall pray that he may interpret. So if you, because again earlier, if he yeah. says, if you're praying in tongues, and nobody knows what you're saying, you're unfruitful to them, but fruitful to your own spirit. Mm-hmm. So he's saying it's basically a private prayer language that's fruitful for you. But if you are in front of somebody, it's unfruitful to use them if there's no teaching, revelation, right. prophecy, or anything, right. or interpretation coming out. He's saying it's unfruitful at that moment then. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, so if you are going to pray in tongues or speak in tongues, should pray that he may interpret. Them who have the gift of interpretation, mm-hmm. let them interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is what?
Unfruitful.
Unfruitful.
You know, I think for verse 14, they'll take verse 14 and say, this is why you don't do it.
Yep.
Instead of seeing that 13 says, this is mm-hmm. how you do it right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the gifts is done that way. They find the part where he says this, like this here, he's saying, don't do it without an interpreter.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Well, then they took it as, don't do it.
Yeah.
And it didn't say that. Right. It didn't say that at all, but they used that as a springboard to try to shut down what they don't understand.
What they're uncomfortable with.
That's right. And I mean, I think Paul talks about praying, and I mean, like speaking in tongues. I think he has a prayer language. I think Paul does that because it is a fruitfulness to yourself.
Well, he said he did. Mm-hmm.
It's an edification for your own soul. But if you are in front of other people and you have that instruction to teach, equip, lead, or whatever, that at that moment, unless there's interpretation, that's where Paul's coming in.
Right,
at.
Exactly.
And I've kind of tried to say that for years now, just trying to bring some guardrails that Paul brought. These ain't Aaron guardrails or Hannah's guardrails or anybody. This is what Paul's telling the Corinth church. And you can see where at times this is what the Holy Spirit likes. When Holy Spirit's in something, there's decency and there's order. Mm-hmm. That does not mean boring and apathy. It just means there's a continuity. There's a going forward. It's not chaos.
There's harmony.
And
but God's order is not ours.
I agree with that.
Nope.
And sometimes our order looks like, I mean, his order looks like something got out of the box.
Yeah.
It did. But it doesn't mean it's crazy.
Yeah, but it doesn't produce, like, I remember growing up, my first introduction to what I would call probably, I'm not going to say they were false tongues, but tongues that were used out of order.
Right.
I was really young, and I didn't know how to handle it back then, because I wasn't even really pastor, so it wasn't my job to do anyways. It would have been the pastor's responsibility to call these two people down, but they would come like once a month. And they would just get up and just start speaking in tongues. Tongues, tongues, tongues. No interpretation, nothing, just tongues, tongues, tongues. And I'm not calling them demonic. I'm not calling the tongues demonic. It was, they probably had the spiritual gift of tongues, but they had no accountability. Yeah. They had no responsibility. And here's what I like to say about spiritual gifts. They're very heavy. Mm-hmm. And when you have something very heavy, the responsibility is very heavy too. Mm-hmm. You do not get permission just to do whatever you want with the spiritual gifts. Right. There's accountability to the Spirit of God. There's accountability to each other. And there's accountability to leadership of the church, the one God's put in position there. And we know that through Scripture, because he says what? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Right.
And so if you are going to be prophetic, you better be around other prophetic people, because you got to hope you're going to be held accountable.
Right.
And that's where a lot of times we go astray with these, I call them the parking lot prophets with a pocket full of prophecies, because they're just running around prophesying in parking lots, but there's no accountability. And you always wonder, what are they doing? They just float everywhere. Well, they're floating everywhere because they have nowhere to plant.
Right. It's really no different than taking the salvation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And misusing it,
mm-hmm.
You know, because it's run down the same line. You know, you'll see Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn, but to reconcile, to bring this. But many times people will go out there and use the gospel, which is true. Use the that he died for your sins, that you need to repent.
Yeah.
And use it as a hammer to say, you know, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. And they gave them part of the message,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not all of the message.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so they've misused it because of ignorance, right? Or maybe trying to make a supernatural thing out of a natural thing. I'm not sure how that all gets going, but it's the same with tongues. You got people who've enjoyed the gift, they've enjoyed God's presence in their life, and then they're just everywhere with it.
Yeah.
Instead of being able to do what the word says.
Yeah.
I think it all boils down to what he's saying here about edifying others, because
exactly it's
the two. It's between just wanting to keep getting filled up with the Spirit and just be fat with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. What
and
are you
not
doing?
Share it.
That's right.
But when your mindset is on edifying others, then you're pouring out, and you're going to continuously, mm-hmm. when you're filled up, you're going to keep pouring out, and the Lord can trust you with it. But I think mm-hmm. that's the two different mindsets mm-hmm. there. Like
right.
either pride can creep in there because you just want it all for yourself, or selfishness, you just want the gifts all for yourself, or you want to use them for others so that, yeah. to see other people change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I had to work through when I started to come into more of a biblical understanding of Christianity and walking in the Spirit. Because when I grew up, like, and I love the church. I'm very thankful for the roots that I have. But I also knew there was some theological shifts that I had to make and understanding from the Scripture. But it's like tongues for us kind of growing up, it was the pinnacle. Like, you got saved, and then you got sanctified, and then you were good enough then to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I had to mess all that doctrine up, because the moment you're born again, Holy Ghost comes and live in you. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the Holy Ghost living in you. That's salvation. He's mm-hmm. coming to dwell in you. He's giving me a new spirit.
The baptism
is the dunamos. It's the empowerment. It's the endowment mm-hmm. for the become witnesses on all the earth. Mm-hmm. And but it's kind of like you got that. You had to clean yourself up without Holy Spirit, because you had to prove you were serious about it. And then once you proved you were serious enough, right. then you got the Holy Ghost. All right. Well, then when you got the Holy Ghost, and I'm not saying this is the whole church doctrine that's perpetuated everywhere, but I know where I grew up, that's kind of what was being perpetuated. And so now once you got the Holy Ghost, then you spoke in tongues. Mm-hmm. And it's like you kind of arrived. But then what do you do after? Because the only thing then is you would just occasionally the Holy Ghost would start to flow and you start speaking tongues. And this is amazing, because it's all about experience.
Right.
And we're building Christianity based upon experience. Mm-hmm. The only reason experiences and encounters are significant is what they produce. Mm-hmm. If your encounter is producing nothing, your encounter was just emotions. And that was something to stimulate you. It was something to stimulate your own heart. But anytime in the Bible when we see people have great encounters, they always had great productivity. So when Amen. God encounters you, or you encounter God, and there's this incredible experience with him, there should be something significant that it's producing. If the only thing that marks you is your encounters, but not your productivity with the Lord and what's being produced, because you look at, like, we could sit there and you know what you never heard Peter and them really talk about again? Pentecost. It happened, but where do you really see them keep going back to it?
Right.
Now, us, we just talk about it. That's all we talk about. The day of Pentecost. What Peter and John are probably thinking about, hey, you remember turning up cities upside down after day of Pentecost?
It's that thing of, then they well, 40 years ago, we or whatever, you know, it's that thing of relying on, well, when 20 years ago I came to know the Lord. And that's my story every time.
That's all you're still talking about.
That's my story every single time. And, you know, but that's why the Lord... when you were talking, it's that place where the Jesus says, take my yoke and then learn of me. The thing is, it's all these results, all these things that we think we're doing that before the Holy Ghost comes, those results, they don't truly happen in the way that they should happen until... It's your position with him that matters. It's your place with him that matters. That extending your hand and being that person and doing the work comes from that relationship. Mm-hmm. We've got it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We think we got to prove something, and then.
Yeah.
Well, God said, and then first.
Yeah.
You know, but it's that place of sitting down with him, learning of him, yeah. learning the way he thinks, learning the way he sounds, learning his expectations or whatever, that's where those everlasting things come from.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, there was that empowerment. And then they just started to walk it out.
That's right.
Exactly. And they didn't have to keep talking about yesterday, because they're in today.
That's right.
And then when you hear Peter writing his epistle, he's thinking about the coming. He said, don't you think he's coming? He's coming. He's coming. And I think for us, we are so programmed to think testimony is about where we've been, but testimony is about where we're going. It's testifying of the goodness of God today in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like Peter didn't even have time to talk about the tongues on fire dancing on his head. You know why? Mm-hmm. Because 8,000 people were getting saved in 2 days.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
And for us, we love the encounter, and we'll talk about the encounter. We'll write books about the encounter. We'll make movies about the encounter. We'll have services about encounters. So we're gonna try to replicate the same encounter that we had yesterday. And it's like, I don't think that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to do. He's trying to get us to walk it out and to live in the Amen. Glory of God. And that's why do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Every day.
We're being filled. Every day.
Yeah. You know, Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all.
Mm-hmm.
But do you notice that we don't have verses that say things like, Well, I spent 2 hours in prayer in tongues this morning, and out of that, the Lord told me to do this. Or mm-hmm. what. You don't hear those kind of things, but that's where they came from.
That's right, exactly.
Because he said, I'm praying it, but I'm praying what? I'm not praying to men, I'm praying to God. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to God here. And in the Spirit, he said, I'll speak mysteries. Mm-hmm. He come out of a place of maybe personal praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a result, or it's just a physical thing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it becomes an emotional thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But every time that I've spent time at home alone,
that's right,
with in the Spirit that way, where I just begin to speak in tongues, and because it's subject, mm-hmm. right? And then out of that, the Lord's always instructed me. He's yeah. always guided me. He's always took me somewhere or gave me an instruction that, and it's there for everybody. But a lot of times people don't even know to look for yeah. that. And they just wait for Sunday morning for the big moment where everybody's up doing
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we don't remember what God's done for us. We don't put memorial stones out. We have our spiritual shepherd staff that we're recording the history of our encounters and our what God's done significantly in our life. I'm not yeah. saying we undermine that. Don't talk about it. But that's where we live. Is in the past so often.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's a lot cheaper to live in the past than it is to live in the future.
Yeah.
And we're never living for tomorrow. We're never living for today. We're just always looking in the past and looking, and God's God today.
It's
like
because,
he's today God.
It's because of this lack. I mean, there, like you were saying, it's an everyday thing. It's every day. And if you're spending that with him every day, then every day you're going to see the result of that. Mm-hmm. Even if what you see is your attitude at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way you walked yeah. through the day with that mm-hmm. knowing that I've been with him.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get up today and say, Hannah, this... Go ahead and take the day off because I don't have anything to say to you. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything arranged for you to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's silly, you know, because he has encounters, he has arrangements, he has moments there that we'll run into somebody that needed that word from you. And we don't, if we're not looking for it, then we'll miss the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But if we start knowing he wants to, what do you want to do today, Lord? But who do you want me to talk to somebody? I mean, you're just ready. You're ready, and you're ready for him to instruct you or guide you, because that's what he said he would do.
And you know, just a little plug here. What she just said is relevant to everybody. It's relevant to everybody that knows the Lord. It's relevant to him, regardless, or it's relevant to you, regardless of your age, regardless of your position, regardless of anything, it's relevant to you. Mm-hmm. No matter what, we find ourselves in. I keep saying that word, no matter what.
Yeah, that's like one of those, and therefore.
Yeah, exactly. it's a word that it really is. No matter what, he's got a life for you to live, and he's got things for you to do. The last thing he said on this earth was, you go. Mm-hmm. And he meant it to you.
So it's not a one-time event. Uh-uh. It's an amazing journey where you just simply say, Lord, fill me with your
That's
spirit
right.
today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let an overflow come out of me. I pray for more boldness today than I had yesterday.
Absolutely.
I pray that. Because it's an ongoing relationship.
Exactly.
It's ongoing. Amen.
And sometimes we get hit along the way, so we need extra. Like, Lord, I need extra boldness.
That's right.
I need extra help.
Right, right.
Amen. Well, let's do a quick trivia question. We'll come back in here. And do we have a guest today, Hannah? I didn't look at it this morning. I didn't think we did. I looked yesterday, but I couldn't remember. What charge did David give to his son Solomon? What charge did David give to his son Solomon? We'll be right back here after this part of this song, Good Morning Mercy by Jason Crabb. Boxer Radio, this is Aaron. How may I help you? Hey, Miss Elizabeth. You got it. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We have Miss Elizabeth Higdon got that answer right. Build the house for the Lord. First Chronicles 26:2. All righty, Miss Hannah, are you ready to go and lead us in the Kingdom Corner and No Talents where we're going to go from there? I like this Tuesday morning. I like this. This is fun.
We're everywhere.
Can we actually keep on what we're talking about? Miss Jeannie had a question, and then I had a scripture. Hey,
well, do you want to give your scripture first?
Y'all leading. Go for it. I'm just going to enjoy.
Okay.
It's whatever you think.
Well, you can go ahead.
Okay.
If you want to that.
I have a question.
And then, because it goes along, because it's still about praying, and then Matthew 6 is about going into the room. So it goes together.
Okay. Well, okay. When you're in a service and the Spirit of God is allowed to move, and I want to say that real loud because sometimes he's not allowed to move. But if you're in a place with other believers where you welcome him to move ever how he wants to and whatever, so these gifts are happening. I've been stirred before to bring forth that message in tongues. And then there's this thing right here saying, don't do it without an interpreter. Don't do it, you know. And so the fear has always been that I would begin to speak by the Holy Spirit and nobody would interpret. So here he says, when you speak in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. So what I'm asking, I guess, is if you feel stirred to bring forth that message and no one begins that interpretation, it would be okay for you to begin to trust God just to bring forth that out of you, the actual interpretation of that. Is that
the interpretation from you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've been in several moments with the Lord.
I have too.
And where, like, everything in the room quiets, and somebody gives a message in tongues. And I can tell you firsthand, not always does that interpretation come 1 second after. We've stayed and we prayed as the body of Christ, and we've had faithful leaders who lead us into that, and we've learned from that. Like, you know, if there's somebody that gives an interpretation of tongues, and usually with an interpreter, I mean, like a tongue for interpret, everything else quiets, and it's this holy hush that enters the sanctuary. It's a surreal holy moment, and we just begin to pray, and the leaders will say, "All right, now pray for interpretation." And we'll all, as a body, begin to pray until somebody gets it.
That's good.
It's and the so, allowance. It's, you know.
That's good. That's really good.
If I'm right on this, correct me if I'm wrong, but whenever it talks about prophecy versus tongues, it says except without interpretation. So it's saying prophecy is greater than tongues except with interpretation.
Yeah. Right. Well, it talks about being a sign for the unbeliever because it shows the supernatural power of God. And that's what the Bible would talk about. So I think there is a greatness to tongues, and especially greatness to tongues interpretation when it's given and there's that holy moment and that heaviness in the sanctuary and heaviness in the light. And I think there would be a mightiness to that, and an unbeliever being a part of that and seeing the glory of God on display, and that the God of the universe is talking. I think there is a sign to that, and I think there is a power.
You know, I've been in services where that happened. Someone got up, began to speak in tongues. You could tell it was a message they're delivering, and someone interpreted like the second they stopped, and it was not. And I knew in my spirit it was not the interpretation. It was a physical thing. It was, you know. And so then I've seen, I've been stirred when somebody was talking. I know what they're saying. I know what's being said. And, you know, and then shrink back, be a little nervous about doing that. And of course, the Lord, he comes along and confirms, yeah, you was hearing me.
Yep.
But of course, the moment's gone.
I missed it. I mean, that's what I was going to ask.
I was learning.
Right.
Right. And just learning to do that. But, you know, it's always been a question. What was that scripture?
So I think it can kind of tie into it. The first thing that this is just going to be the Kingdom Corner.
Can I say one thing before you go on? Because you said you feel like you missed it. I believe in moments like that, that even if they're not happening in that moment, I think write it down. And I think the next Sunday or the next time coming together, be like, all right, Pastor, all right, here's what I felt like this is. And if it connects and, you know, everybody's in agreement and there's that witness, I don't think it's a horrible thing to still continue with that. Hey, last week there was this tongues given.
That's
and
true.
And I think, you know, the Lord really gave me this as an interpretation because the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. And I think this comes back to where we're so moments driven.
Right.
And, and I would rather hear the word of the Lord a week later than not hear it at all.
Oh, that's good.
And
it's
so
like the word of the Lord doesn't have an expiration date.
Yeah, amen.
Because Jonah was a few days late, but he still came and gave the word, still revival broke out.
You said write it down. Well, I always write it down. Thank God for cell phones. Because when people start prophesying or giving words of knowledge and wisdom to people, I've always ran and wrote it down so they could have it. You know, because those moments, you know, it's powerful, but then you forget it.
Yeah.
So I've always wrote it down. So this particular day that I'm talking about where I knew I had the interpretation, somebody else gave one and I knew that wasn't it. I wrote it down that moment.
Yeah.
And I actually gave it to the pastor after church.
Yeah. That's good.
That is good.
That's really good.
And if you have a leadership that's spiritually discerning and doing what they're really called to do, I'm sure they felt that was out of order too. Yeah. And as hard as it is, and you don't want to be that guy that just, you don't have to tear people, you don't have to be dishonorable, you don't have to be like, they were wrong, they were hypocritical, they were demonic, they should never said it. You still have a responsibility. If you know that's the wrong word of the Lord, you have a responsibility the next Sunday to get up there and say, hey, there was a tongues and interpretation. And, you know, this is the word that was given. We love the person that interpreted it. But we really do feel like as a body and the leadership of this body and those who are hearing from the Lord that it wasn't the accurate interpretation. We really do feel like this is the interpretation of these tongues. I think we can honor people in that. But it is our responsibility to guard this as much as possible. And when there is a false word, I think we have to call it out.
Yeah, and it's a learning. You know, I always say this to my small groups. This is a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Right here is a safe place. We may say, oh, that can't be the word of the Lord. But this is a safe place for that to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not out there in the middle of somebody's church and now you've blown it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's why we can be honorable in it and still edifying to that person who maybe missed it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can guard the person who missed it so much that we hurt the body.
That's right.
And we give them a false word that we know is a false word, but we don't want to potentially offend anybody or hurting their feelings. So,
because that can be misleading.
Yeah. And so this is another one of those reasons the Bible talks about. For those who desire to be elders or leaders or teachers, you should probably think twice about it because there's heavy responsibilities.
There certainly is.
And there's some things you're going to have to do that's not always popular. Mm-hmm. There's going to be things you have to do that's heavy. There's conversations I've had to have with people that kept me up for 3 nights before I did it.
I'm telling you.
And it's hard.
It's right.
But you have a responsibility to the whole body.
Right.
To the whole body. And you do have to guard some.
Yeah.
And so,
do you think this is why, like, before the prophets, and I see this as, even though it's tongues, like I see it, I mean, it's the word
That's
of the
right.
Lord coming forth, so, but they were held so much more accountable, like, even unto death, like, if they got it wrong, but now that there's the body of Christ, and there's that unity in the faith, I think that's why he puts the body of Christ around us for that safe place and for, you know, if there is error somewhere, then when received and when that unity is there, it can be a safe place to receive that correction. Mm-hmm. And it can end up changing somebody's life instead of, you know,
knocking them down.
Yes.
But I think if the correction doesn't come, there's also the possibility that will either continue going
I think
that
that's
way.
What's happened.
And then if that happens, then that's when, like, we can talk about church discipline, and that has to come into effect.
I think you said it best years ago. You made this statement, and it still rings true today. You know, we can love people to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we call it love. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, I don't want to, you know, and we allow people to go off into something they should not be doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we don't say, hey, you're getting off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's love. Mm-hmm. And like he said, I gauge whether or not the Lord's stirring me to speak to somebody by how I'm reacting inside. I'll fret over this. And I know I used the word fret, but I'll agonize over this conversation I have to have.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't come easily.
Yeah.
If it comes easily, you're probably being a Pharisee.
Wrong spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get excited over those hard conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, I've had plenty, and they're not fun.
They're not.
They're not fun at all.
And you do lose sleep over it.
Yeah. And you do lose friends sometimes.
Yes.
Like, I know there was one friend that I had to say some hard stuff to in their life, and we had to go to lunch, and I just basically had to say, you know, they came to me and was like, I think I need deliverance. And I said, with all due respect and love, I think you need to hate sin. I said, I think you love sin. And you're loving this sin more than you loving Jesus. That was not an easy conversation to have. And it wasn't one that I come in there and go, oh, I can't wait to do it. It was heavy. And I could tell I could tell for a while there was that, you know, separation a little bit, even though there wasn't really, but you could tell there was, like, he said that to me. But then like six, eight months later, he said, I needed to hear that.
Right. Yeah. And see, that's what I think you have to remember in those moments, is that you are in a great way, literally playing with someone's life.
You are.
You're it's literally heavy. In position of affecting forever for them.
Mm-hmm.
An allowance of something forever that can change that. And I think you really have to understand that is where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. You're playing around with somebody, and you got to be honest about it. You got to be truthful for their sake as well as your
own.
It
is really all for their sake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it really is, because we'd rather not have that conversation.
Not at all.
Not
It'd
at
be
all.
Easier, cheaper.
I'd rather ignore it. Just, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, and because honestly, a lot of the church is in that predicament because we don't want people to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what church has become is the congregation is the Patreon. They're mm-hmm. the customer. And we've got to keep pleasing the customer. And as long as church is making the people the customer, we'll never see the revival of the Lord that we're looking for. It's only when Jesus is the centerpiece of the church. Right now we have man as the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Everything's revolving around man. What music do they want to listen to? What kind of sermons do they want to hear? What kind of service do they want? What kind of coffee do they want? What style donut do they want? What do they want in a program? What do they want in a children's church? What do they want here? It's all about what man wants. But when did it start being about man and not about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Because the church was theirs to preach the gospel, make disciples, and what? See the glory of God cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's the proclamation. That's the vision. The glory of God's going to cover the earth as the water. How's the glory of God cover the earth? We are filled with the glory of God covering the earth as the church of living Christ. But it's become about us. And we serve and we entertain and we patty cake and we give them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, what we've become in the church is a worshiper of the creation.
And we're also giving them what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We want the avoidance. We don't want them feeling a certain way. We don't toward us. You know, I heard a man say this morning, you know, I had one eye closed when he said it, but you know, both of them came open after he said it. He was talking about people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, when you stand in a position of fearing man,
come on.
He said, you're in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when you fear God rightfully, then you're not afraid of man.
That's right. Mm. That's good.
And the thing is, again, that's part of that right relationship. It's that place of, he is worthy of that.
Yeah.
He's worthy of that. But what that does is, because you know who he is, you're, again, you're going to come from a different perspective in what you do in your life and what you do toward other people. But when you fear him, you don't fear man.
Mm-hmm. We need the fear of God.
We
do.
Absolutely.
That's the healthy fear of the Lord right there, and it's missing.
That's right.
Because mm-hmm. if you look out across your congregation, I don't know who I'm talking to, and you worry more about how they're going to receive what you say,
mm-hmm.
than the fact that God gave it to you to say,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
See, you're out of balance. You're getting out. Those people are not your responsibility. Your responsibility is, what did God tell me to say?
That's right. No, it's good.
Yeah. And so he said, it is, your Father is able to make them stand.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah. That's there. That's between them and him.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's that verse in Joshua that I love. I think it's more than one, but I put them together. But, you know, when God said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Okay, that's done. But then he said, don't you be afraid. Because I'm going to be the same way with you as I was with him.
Amen.
And the thing was, I remember when I first read that, I knew he was talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be the same with you as he was with Moses.
Yeah. And what what did he say to Jeremiah?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you look at their
That's
faces.
Right.
Don't do it.
Why? I'll confound you.
They'll mess you up.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. He'll expose. Yeah.
And that's not selfish. That's not an arrogant thing. When he said that, and you know, your heart.
Absolutely.
You got to pay attention to what's going on in your heart. Mm-hmm. But it's not being selfish. It's being humble but powerful. It's being humble but ready. It's being humble and mighty because it's what God says.
It's because the pressure. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
The pressure comes off of us doing it.
That's right.
Because I was listening to, a teaching on David and Goliath and the Israelites and everything, and something that was said was.
Your favorite guy.
The reason why they feared man, they feared Goliath, is because they were in the mindset then, the selfish mindset, the prideful mindset, that this is us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is us winning. Like, we can't do this. Because other times they had started to believe that it was them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was them winning the victories. It wasn't God winning the victories anymore. So that's why they were afraid, and that's why we get afraid. We forget that it's God doing it, not us doing
it.
So when we look at ourselves to the next guy that's bigger than us, then we're like, oh, well, we're defeated. Because we've started to believe in our mind and in our heart that it's us receiving the glory. It's us doing it. It's our strength and not his strength anymore. And then we completely lose perspective of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then God will use somebody that is completely unlikely to shake everybody up and wake us up to realize this isn't us. Like, and that's what I love about what David says, is so that all, I don't know if he says all of Israel or all of the people, basically will know that there is a God
in Israel. Amen. And you know that, I want to go back to what he said about bringing that difficult message. That doesn't matter if it's one-on-one or if it's to a whole congregation.
That's right.
What you've done is you've given them what the Lord gave you, and you're speaking on behalf of heaven here.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're speaking on behalf of the Lord. He said, you are an ambassador for me right here. You are a prophet, apostle, teacher unto me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what we're doing, we're delivering what he wants you to know.
Yeah, that's right.
And so in that, if we do this little, well, we just have to love them through it. I get that. I get the love through it. But if you're not careful, your love sounds like the world's love to me.
Yeah. Your love's going to love them.
If you hadn't told that guy that, you know, because, and we like to say it like this because it's really a good way. Your house is on fire, brother, and you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing's leading you somewhere. You're headed down a road to destruction, and I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say, I love you. I love you. I'm not going to tell him. And that's what you did. You took the risk. Because why? Because his relationship wasn't with you.
Yeah.
It's with the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Yeah. I want to say something on that after the break. We got to go to break. But I want to feed off of that just for a second. Then, Hannah, you can do your Kingdom Corner, and I'll stop talking for a second.
I don't think I want to go to Kingdom Corner. Well, I have a scripture anyway that goes along with that.
Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Survey. In Ezekiel, what names were on the three north gates of the city? What names were on three gates of the north city in Ezekiel? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. Well, we are back yet. No answer for that one as of right now. For those who haven't seen yet on social media or news, the bridge is open on one lane still, but that's big for a lot of people. That was big. So it looks like one lane is currently open at the moment. And so for 737, they're going to try to open both lanes as soon as they deem it safe and inspected. But Miss Jeannie, I want to follow up what you were saying a minute ago about it's got to be bigger than us. And see, here's what religion hates. Religion hates wholeness and healing and restoration and salvation. Religion hates it because they don't want people to be put back together. That's what that religious spirit don't want. Why? Because religion is contingent upon fear and reciprocal bondage, mm-hmm. because it keeps coming back to the people feeding the religion. Mm-hmm. And so the way that the religious spirit is fed is for you to stay in bondage because you become utterly dependent, mm-hmm. and you're going to spend your whole life trying to please a God. That's your whole life. And then you're going to fail, and then you're going to come back to it, and then you're going to fail, and you're going to come back to it.
Feel guilty.
And then you're going to feel this condemnation, then you're going to go there. And that's what religion feeds off of. So that's what a lot of ministers who are cultish, ministers who are in extreme religion, that's what they feed. They're going to feed you no wholeness. They're going to tell you you're always going to be awful. You're always going to be in sin. You're always going to be, or you're always going to be in bondage. You can't do it, because that's what that religious spirit feeds off of. Because if I can convince you you're helpless, hopeless, and have no future, then you'll always come to
back.
Me looking
mm-hmm.
for one.
Right. Right.
And what the kingdom does, the kingdom comes and brings freedom mm-hmm. to the captive.
Absolutely.
It brings salvation to those held in bondage. It brings wholeness. It brings restoration. It brings complete liberation. It brings solutions. It brings healing. It brings all of this. There's peace, joy, and righteousness, not guilt, shame, and bondage. It's the glory of God manifested
in the Holy Ghost.
That's right, in the Holy Ghost. And so, I've seen this over and over where, you know, I met this one guy, and he seemed like the flesh, in the flesh Eeyore. He had no hope.
I know him.
Yeah, like he was, I call him the in the flesh Eeyore, and what he's been given his whole life was religion.
Right.
It's all he's ever been given. Mm-hmm. Come up and shake the pastor's hand. Come up and do this. I remember one time at the school, there was a little boy in tears one day at school, and me and Jason was talking to him, and we said, "What's wrong, son?" And he said, "I want to be saved, but I can't because I just haven't prayed hard enough yet."
Uh-huh.
That's what he's told at his church.
Wow.
He would be weeping during this revival, and he would go to the altar, and he's weeping, crying out for God to save him, and the preacher and the people keep saying, "You're not there yet, son.
Wow.
You got to go harder, and that you've not cried enough yet." These are words that are being told him. That's religion. And that's what man-made reciprocal cycles of bondage, guilt, and shame produce, because that's what keeps some people coming back to their cult.
Because it's all about the people. Like when you're talking about the bondage, what's clicking with me right now is when you're in chains and bondage, we can't serve the Lord.
Mm-mm.
Like we aren't serving the Lord when we're in chains and bondage, because he didn't set it up that way. That's how, when we're in chains and bondage, we're serving another master.
That's right.
Whether that master is fear, the enemy, I don't know, but it's not God.
No.
It's either we're serving him or we're serving something mm-hmm. else. And I think with the religion conversation, a lot of times we're convinced that we're doing everything for God, but really we're serving the man.
Mm-hmm. That's what the blood of Jesus really,
okay.
one of the things mm-hmm. that accomplished, he said that bulls and goats could never do. And that was clear your conscience. See, he could save you, but if he couldn't clear your conscience, then you're saved, but you're not moving. You're not changing. You're not free, because your conscience never got cleared. Let everything he died at this time of year, we're thinking about it. Let everything he died and rose from the dead to give you come into play. Not just he saved me
mm-hmm.
from hell. So that word save, of course, is really big anyway. But he came to clear your conscience about where you are with him and where you are with sin. He come to clear your mind concerning that, so you wouldn't be. You know, I was in a service one time. It went on for a month at least. And every week he was preaching on repentance, repentance, repentance. And I'm not, definitely a person that believes in that.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was going to the altar and repenting every week, every week, every week. And I was up there repenting like everybody else. And the Lord spoke to me. he said, it's time to get up from there. Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, I don't know that anybody else heard that, but the Lord told me, get up from there. Why? And the sense that I got from him was, repentance is not staying guilty forever.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's get up from there. There's a life to live. There's That's a place right. I want you to go, but you can't go packing all that guilt with you.
Mm-hmm.
Get you know, up from there.
It's that kind of that place, you know, God moves. I mean, my life moves no matter what. And, you know, the Lord moves forward. Freedom, mm-hmm. a result. The Lord moves forward. Religion moves backwards.
Back. Yeah.
You're never still. Your life is never mm-hmm. stagnant. You know, you're moving. Mm-hmm. And one is moving toward freedom, or one of them is moving toward bondage, deeper mm-hmm. bondage.
Yeah, and you'll hear things like this. Well, we're never going to arrive. Well, I don't know who told you that. My Bible says we will arrive.
Yeah,
it
and
does
I'm
not
hoping
yet appear
for
what we shall be.
Yeah.
But when he appears, we will be like him.
And he who has that hope purifies himself.
And he did say, be perfect as I'm perfect.
That's yeah. right.
So what is that perfection but a completion in him?
Yep.
You can be holy, W-H-O-L-L-O-Y, complete
yep.
in him.
Finished work. He started the good
That's
work.
Right. So it's
work.
We're walking it out.
That's what
yes,
that perfect
right.
is. It's,
yeah.
We have to think about what the words mean.
Right.
We read the perfect and we associate it with what we've always known perfect to be. Just like we read the scriptures, and a lot of times we miss the meat of it because we associate
right.
it with everything that we knew before.
That's right.
But we got to renew our mind and pray that he'll give us the understanding to open our eyes to know what he says that it means.
You know, it's that pursuit. Mm-hmm. He who has this hope purifies himself. Mm-hmm. Perfect is pursuit.
Amen.
It's moving.
It's a man after his own heart.
That's exactly right. And who does not yeah. want him to say that about yeah. you?
The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth,
yeah.
searching for those whose hearts are turned perfect toward him.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Well, so he could show up strong on their behalf. Well, if that's true, he can't show up strong on nobody. Because nobody's perfect, right?
Yep.
Right.
And he says in Revelations, that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to show up on your... He's going to make sure they know, he says. Mm-hmm. He's going to make sure they know how much he loves
you.
I
pray that sometimes.
I love that.
I pray that. Lord, show the world
this
that
is
you
really
have a
good.
People.
This is really, really good about the perfect thing. I got to make a note because you hear that so much. And I think the misconception of what perfect means keeps mm-hmm. people from... coming to
going
God.
Going toward him. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they are associating what perfect means by the world standard.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
they,
right.
We put so many things on that, you know, it's just like some of the words that people don't like in the mm-hmm. Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. That's because we've got our interpretation on that. Hate. We've got our interpretation.
Right, right.
That makes God something we don't want him to be. But mm-hmm. again, it's for us. We say those things for us.
How about perfect love? Mm-hmm. Cast out all fear. Well, that means none of us can get rid of fear.
Right.
But yet, he already said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear.
That's right.
He said,
is the
perfect
love,
cast it out.
And he said, what
and
did
we
he
need
say?
To walk in the reception of that.
Yeah.
We just talked about a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the same with that with you as I was with all those
I
guys
strive.
In the back.
Don't you? I strive every day. I strive every day. Look, if I've got anything that's less than, and I already know I'm complete in him, it's not saying that I got it all. But I got it all.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's around here somewhere.
It is exactly right. And just walk on in.
I'm going to walk up in this. Why?
That's right.
The Holy Spirit.
See, we caught it. I don't know if everybody listening caught it, but the I got it all versus the I got it all.
Yes.
The emphasis, the one without the emphasis is I have it all. Everything is already in me and I don't need God.
It's got a weighty burden to it.
But the I got it all is I got him.
That's
I
right.
Got him. That's
we
exactly
him.
Right.
Without
right.
him, we don't have it all.
Uh-uh.
But with him, we have everything. That's
so
right.
if he says to me, I've give you my peace.
Uh-huh.
And this day, I don't feel that peace.
Yeah.
Does that mean I don't have it?
No.
No, that means I got to find it.
That's right.
It's here. It's here somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
glory. Amen.
Where's my goodness and mercy?
It's supposed to be
following
me.
That's
so good, Karen.
I love it. I've not heard that. That's so good. No, I mean, I can relate to that with just how much I lose things. So
don't even go there. We're not going there.
Like tangible things, but that's so true.
That's because you're a new mother too.
No, it happened even before that.
I continually lose everything. If something's lost, they'll pick up a pair of glasses at church. They'll pick them up and go, Jeannie, did you lose your glasses? Because they know I'm the one that's going to be losing
or
everything.
Or did you lose your keys, Jeannie?
Yeah, here's a pair of keys. Everything they find, it has to be mine.
You left your coffee cup here.
Yeah. But see, I am that. But here's how I respond to that. Yes, I do lose a lot of things. But I have people.
That's right.
And somebody's going to come along and pick up where I've kind of, it was off right here. And they hear y'all to preach. Yeah. And they'll come alongside of me and say, Jenny, you left your piece back there. Here.
You know, that's one of the things I've always wanted to say. You know, I've always wanted to say that to somebody. Have your people call my people. Well, that's what you're talking about here. God called your people.
Wow.
So if I say to you, hey, Hannah, I saw it on you. Here's you left your faith back there.
Wow.
Get your faith.
It's called God's calling your person.
I know that. It's like this hits way too close to home to me because I have left my things very far. Like I left my purse at Cattleman's and was all the way back home. And my people drove back to get it.
So that's why we're here today.
No matter the distance.
Bearing one another's burdens.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody's got you.
That's right.
So you take that over into the spiritual. How valuable is the members of the body of Christ?
Wow.
Can I say I don't need you?
Right.
No,
I need her to come get me out on the other side of the flood today.
Right.
And religion wants to beat us down and be like, well, just be better.
Just do better.
But I think the Lord is trying to say, I'm better. I'm trying to show you what's better in you and through you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Mm-hmm. Because when we start to just do better, we start to think that it's us that is the perfect and it's not him.
Mm-hmm. You know, way long time ago when I first started going to Bible study and stuff, you know, I've always thought I was weird.
I did too.
Me too.
Yeah.
I thought you were weird.
Yeah. I know you did. You told her.
No. Yeah. I don't come in agreement with that. I thought I was weird.
I mean, but I always thought that. You know, I thought you're just weird. And I wasn't being complimentary about it. You know, but then I was reading the Word of God one day and he said, you're peculiar.
Mm hmm.
I'm like,
come on.
All right. Now I'm starting to feel better about myself. I'm not weird. I'm peculiar.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what God said about me. And, you know, that's that place where what he said about me began to change the way I thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's walking toward freedom or walking toward bondage.
Yeah.
And when God said, you are peculiar, it was different. I became freer that day.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the thing about God's word is his word does bring about the freedom.
And it's spoken in due season.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You needed to hear it.
Yes, exactly.
And that's why it's so important we get mouthy because we're going to carry something to somebody. They had to have it today.
Right.
They had to have it. Or maybe you just by yourself in your house speaking to the Lord. And he speaks up into you by his spirit. He leads you to a scripture by his spirit. You had to have that today. Doesn't mean you didn't
know
it yesterday. Of course you knew it. But you had to have it today.
That's right.
See, and that's what people don't really realize how desperate they need to be for that daily bread.
That's right.
I got to have it because it's going to make the difference right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not yesterday.
Wow. Right.
I think Paul, when he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, I think for him, when he said this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me, I think part of his forgetting those things was things like what we're talking about, where he maybe missed the mark, where he maybe had a hiccup right there and he had to repent. You know, he's a man. There's no question, even though it's not recorded so much, that he had struggles, just like anybody. but he kept on moving forward.
That's right.
Keep on, and that's what who needs to hear that today? Forget what you did or didn't do. Move forward. Mm-hmm. Just keep pressing. Just keep pursuing. Just keep going after him. You're going to be all right.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Going to be all right.
Well, earlier, and I think it still goes along with this, we were talking about the fear of the Lord. And what came to me was, you know, when we're fearing people and we're in the bondage, have you ever, I'm sure your answer is going to be yes, if you've ever feared the people, but the embarrassment. Mm. Embarrassment. What is embarrassment? Why do we feel embarrassed? And I mean, there's verses that speak on this. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, basically. Do not be ashamed of me. Do not right. deny me before men. I'll deny you before my Father. But the Lord, it's like the Lord was showing me, what if instead of being so embarrassed by people, like we're embarrassed in front of people to say what the Lord wants us to say or worship him or even come to him. Maybe we're lost and we're embarrassed to mm-hmm. step out and come to him. What if our fear of the Lord was greater than our fear of man, and we were embarrassed to not worship him?
Yes.
We were embarrassed in front of him. Like, we don't care about the people and not care. We're not embarrassed and worried about the people anymore. Our audience is one, mm-hmm. is him, and we're embarrassed to not do those things. We're embarrassed in front of the Lord to look at people more than we're looking at him, mm-hmm. to think that it's us instead of his strength and his power. What if he was truly our audience and the rest was, you know, everything else flowed into alignment from that? And I think that would change so much. And I think about David and, you know, the story of David and Goliath. And I believe he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed by the fact that all of
the people,
mm-hmm. himself, like he's including himself in it. Mm-hmm. He's like, we are looking at this giant more than we're looking mm-hmm. at the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this is embarrassing to the Lord. Mm-hmm.
He like, said, is there not a cause?
Right. Yes. I love that.
I love that statement. Is there not a, don't I have a reason to say we should trust him? Mm-hmm. Don't
and,
I? Yeah.
And who is this? Like, who is this giant right. when we have the Lord, mm-hmm. the living God?
He has no covenant with God. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
right.
And I just think if he would be our audience, and we would be embarrassed to give him any less than what he deserves, or not trust him, not behold him, you know, mm-hmm. to be beholding all these other things. Like, and I don't know, maybe there's a better word than embarrassed, but that's just the word that came to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's for somebody that you have been struggling with being embarrassed
right.
on things. You've been shy. You've been afraid. I feel like with embarrassment comes fear, comes mm-hmm. all these other things. But the Lord wants to set us free from that. Amen. So that we can see him.
And I'll tell you a good place to start is do what David did. David never forgot the victories that he already
That's
had with
right.
God.
Yep. Uh-huh.
David never forgot who he was to him. The covenant yep. that he had with him. Mm-hmm. And it's Amen. the woman who said, he said, she has been forgiven much.
Right.
She loves much. Have you, go back down memory lane today and remember what you have been forgiven for. What is salvation to you? Who is he to you? What has he done
That's
for
right.
you? Go down that road and see how it takes you to the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're going to come up out of there remembering that the same God, the same one who brought you from, well, you know, I say this almost every day. I'm not exaggerating. Lord, I have not forgot where mm-hmm. I came from. Mm-hmm. And I know that without you in my life, that I would not be here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would still be in that mess and worse.
Yeah.
But I remember where I've come from mm-hmm. enough to know that who he is to me is everything.
Right.
I was out there doing whatever, and he got my attention. And I cannot thank him enough
Amen.
For drawing me in,
That's
for drawing
right.
me, for turning
right.
my head, for allowing me to hear something, for sending somebody my way. I can't thank him enough. And then I have a lifetime of victories, a lifetime I can go through.
What he's done.
Maybe you've mm-hmm. forgotten, mm-hmm. and you need to stir up your memory of who he's been to you.
And, you know, Amen. I think, too, as you were saying that song, I don't know how old it is, but it was running through my head, and it was the splendor of the King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. That's who he is. Yeah. It trembles at his voice.
Come on.
It trembles out at his voice. How great is our God. And, you know, I think that he told me one time, he said, he was talking to me about the armor, the peace. And he said it to me this way, and I know it was a personal thing, but he said, here's the piece that I'm talking about here. He said, you be you. You be who you are in me. And you let me be who I am.
In you.
You let God be who, you know, we've said it a couple times this morning. There are some things that we take as our responsibility, our job, our this, whatever, when it's not. I can't save anybody. That's his job. That's his job. There are so many things. I can't heal you. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. But he can use me.
Mm-hmm. Carry it.
And the thing is that we have gotten our position so distorted. And I cannot, I finally figured out, I cannot hold it. I cannot maintain it. I cannot keep it in balance. He's the one that does that. It's him. And you know, we think, you've said it, we want to pull him down. But he's, how great is he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Remember you said we can't be back there in the past all the time. This is good, though. You go back there. Go back there long enough to remember your victory. Mm-hmm. Go back there long enough to say, look what the Lord has done. And then bring it on up.
That's
and say,
right.
Today
That's
it'll
right.
be no different.
That's right.
Today we had revival back then, and today will be no different.
That's right.
Come on. That we just need to bring it up to the present.
That's right.
Amen. Has done. Woo-hoo.
Yes, amen. That's right. That's right.
Sing that song.
You know, what is the song we sing? He still parts the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he did it then. He'll do it again.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, he still raises. He raised people from the dead. He still does. He raised me from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't change, he said. He still does things the way he's still who he always has been.
If he ever done it once.
Yeah, he'll do it again.
He'll do it again.
Let's do this. It's time for a break.
No, we don't want to go to break.
And you'll like this break. And Ezekiel, what names were on the three north gates of the city? 270-257-2689. Hey,
hey,
how about that, Miss Jeannie?
Yes, amen. We were ready to dance now.
Yes, we were dancing there for a little bit.
Look what the Lord.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I don't have any problem looking, do you?
Uh-uh.
I don't have any problem looking back.
Well, just this morning.
Yeah. But not just look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is doing.
Yes, yes.
He was, he is, and he is to come.
To come. Preach.
Just think about what he's going to do.
That's right. And you'll leave here this morning going, let's take a city.
Uh-huh.
Hey, mm-hmm. Hey.
Let's jump a wall.
Yeah.
Let's swim a lake.
Miss Jeannie's done that today.
We already done that. Yeah.
Gosh, Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, you all have more energy than some of the youngins. It's like the different spirit that Caleb had.
It's all about who you hang out with.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you.
When you're hanging out with Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm about to have Tim to go to the grocery with him.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say y'all want to ride around with us today.
I want to jump a wall and what else are we
take. City.
Take a city.
Run through a troop. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we have some listeners were chiming in saying, talking about the fear of the Lord, reminded them of the verse, blessed are those that fear the Lord who find great delight in his commands, and also said that they're being blessed this morning. Many confirmations coming
Amen.
Through for me.
I think of that scripture in Hebrews. I don't know if I can look it up here real quick or not, but here's what I fear. when I fear the Lord, I fear not receiving something he died to give me. I fear that a promise left me that I would fall short of it. I fear that. I fear that the Lord would look at me and say, well, why didn't you believe me? I gave it to you.
That's Hebrews 4.
I mean, isn't that great? So there's a fear, a healthy fear of the Lord. I'm not scared of him, but I'm fearful to not walk with him. I am fearful of that.
Yeah.
And I'm fearful that he said some things that meant to change everything. He done some things that was meant to change everything. And I fear sitting in a corner worrying all the time.
Yeah.
That's right.
When he said, don't do that.
Right.
I fear that. I fear that. Why? Because he said, if you'll come this way, if you'll trust me here, you know, are you not more valuable than anything I've created?
That's right.
And I take that literally. That's not just a little catchphrase.
Yeah.
You know.
When I think of fear of the Lord, I think of what are some fear of the Lord versus fear of man. What are some things we fear of man? We fear of missing out on things. So
that's true.
The opposite of that, I fear on missing out on what the Lord has for me.
Yes, amen.
Right. That's
right. I fear missing out on that. What else do we? I think if we compare the two, then we can see where we've been fearing man. We need to have those fears of the Lord because he's the one that stands alone. He's the one that's all powerful. People aren't, and that's just one of them. But you know, fearing what they think, we need to fear what the Lord thinks.
That's right.
That's right.
Of us. Fearing, well, what if I get rejected? Fearing being, I don't want to be rejected by the Lord. I don't want to stand
That's
before
right.
him and him say, depart from me, I never knew you. If we would rethink this and we would think these things towards the Lord, those aren't bad things.
No.
It's a good thing to have those fears. It's not saying we're so afraid that we want to hide from the Lord all the time. It's saying we're afraid of missing out. We're afraid of, we want to be so close to him that we're afraid of anything that keeps us.
I am afraid of missing out, aren't you?
Yes.
I don't want to miss nothing.
That's
well,
right.
Well, that's a new thing. Like, have you heard the phrase FOMO? Aaron, have you heard it? I don't know why. I thought so many people knew it, but I guess it's a Gen Z thing. I don't know. But fear of missing out. What it is.
Fear of missing out. FOMO.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
And usually it's used for, you know, if everybody else is getting to do something or you maybe there's a possible chance that if you take this opportunity that you'll miss out on what everybody else is doing.
I can't wait to use that.
But it's FOMO in the kingdom. Like, I don't want to miss. I have the fear of missing out on what the Lord has for me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I'm distracted here and I am fearing people, if I'm focused so much on the people, then we're going to miss out on what God has.
The Lord's turned me with something. I got to say it. It's not to say that we don't struggle with things, you know, because you hear us laughing, you hear us giving the big edifying talk and all of that, and it's real. But it's not that we don't have struggles. It's just that from that struggling place, we've learned where to run with
Amen.
It. We've learned what to do with it, and that is, you know, something that we can pass on. And so, I remember, you know, worrying about situations in my life, and I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but I feel like the Lord wants this said. Worrying about things that how they're gonna play out, or you know, what do I need to just fretting over stuff, and the Lord spoke to me, and you know, when the Lord speaks, it comes packing so much that it does change everything if you'll receive it. And I pray you'll receive this word today. He simply said to me, that's not the end of it. And I'm just telling y'all, to this day, that settles me down every time that I get too far over into worry. I get too far over into nervous about something or whatever. I hear those words again. Well, that's not the end of it. And I realize that the Lord is still at work in my life. I realize that this has an outcome and an expected end. And it's not what I'm seeing. Man, I need that.
And that lines up with the word. Like, if somebody out there is, like, doubting how you hear from the Lord or what you're hearing or how, I think anxiety makes us think, like, in a, sometimes, like, overthink everything, basically. But whatever thought that you're hearing, it probably isn't, it's not always going to come in a loud voice. It's going to be a thought, but it's always going to line up with the word. So
that's right.
For example, it's not the end of it. There's scripture for that. He who started a good work in you will be faithful to complete it.
Yes.
So it that lines up. And so we have to stop being so afraid of, is this right or is that right? Or am I hearing this? Just test it. Just right. Work it. Work the word. Compare it with the word. Right. Go get in the word. See how it lines up. Instead of being so afraid of, well, I'm not, am mm-hmm. I really, is this really from the Lord? Am I hearing him? I don't know how to hear him. There's just so much, with anxiety comes so much overthinking. Mm-hmm. But what I think to break out of that, we just have to move forward and try it. Mm-hmm. Just try God.
That's why your Bible's so important to you.
That's right.
That's why the Word of God, the written Word of God, is so important that you, and you say, well, I just don't know the Bible that much. Well, call Aaron.
Call Jeannie.
Call.
She knows it better than me.
And say, I'm hearing, I heard this in my mind. It just came up out of nowhere. Is there scripture to back that up? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not in a place where you know your Bible well enough, ask somebody. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you call me, I might give you the answer for this one. But I'm going to tell you, get in your Bible.
Sooner or later.
Amen.
You know, it's, again, one of the verses I love is over in Revelation. And you know which one it is. It's when Jesus is talking to the church of Laodicea. And he says to them, I counsel thee to buy of me gold.
Yeah.
Talking about his word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I counsel you to buy me gold. And then he says, gold that's been tried.
Mm-hmm.
It's already tested.
Yes.
It's already proven. It's been tested. It's been tried by the fire already. His word is pure. His word is full. His word is of the utmost value. It will never decrease mm-hmm. in value.
Never
it
pass will, away either.
It will only increase within you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
It'll only gain more value within you. Mm-hmm. And he says, you buy that from me. And you know,
without
you,
money.
Exactly. And you said those words a while ago, and we have a hymn, an old hymn we love. And it said, he's talking about how I've proved him o'er and o'er.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, Jesus, how I love him. How I've proved mm-hmm. him o'er and o'er. You take this gold that he says that has already been tried. And prove it. Mm-hmm. He'll walk with you every single.
That goes along with Romans 12 when he said that you're being renewed in your mind. You're being transformed. And what? To prove.
That's right.
What is that perfect, acceptable will of God?
Mm-hmm.
To prove it. I smell a sweet savor.
Yeah. I tell you what, Karen, you've got people this morning. I'm your people talking to their people because I've just been answering texts all morning. But one listener did say, thank you, receiving his word through you precious sisters. Oh, and so maybe y'all should do the broker. I'll just be y'all's producer. I'll just keep the conversation flowing and be the producer. I can push buttons with the best of them in here. But no, I've had a lot of text messages. So to God be the glory. I mean, mm-hmm. definitely. The Lord's speaking to people this morning in amazing ways.
Praise God.
He's speaking to me. Like, I just want to say to the listeners too, like, never think that whoever's behind a mic just immediately had it all together. Like, the Lord, and I say that because I've thought that before, listening. I've thought that listening to preachers and pastors and teachers, that it's so easy to put people on a pedestal and think, I'll never be able to get
that. That's right.
And it's not about getting in. It's just about surrendering all to the Lord. Because
right.
I was just thinking, I was sitting here watching Miss Jeannie, like, just the joy, like, and the confidence of what she was saying earlier. And she just made her hand motions. I don't know. She was just, like, confident in what she was saying. And I was thinking, like, and I think it was the Lord was, like, the crushing, the pressing, that's what gets you there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the journey is, there's joy. There's truly light at the end of the tunnel. And in the tunnel, like, there's things that I know that I don't even know all of Miss Jeannie's testimonies, but I know she's been through things.
That's right.
And then there's been joy produced out of that.
Right.
She's had the worries. She's had the thoughts, the fears, and she's learned how to overcome them. And that's why she can be bold and confident.
That's right.
And not care what anybody thinks about it, because the Lord has helped her get there through overcoming these things that we've been talking about. Saying, he's still working on me. I'm young in this thing, but I never want anyone to think that about me either, because a lot of these things that we talk about, it's ministered to me on things that I'm going through right now.
Well, it's re-ministering to us as we hear ourselves say it. But you know, don't let anybody despise your youth, including you, because what you said earlier, you know, I want to be worried about what does he think about
that's right.
Yeah,
and I want to worry. I want, if I'm gonna fret over something, fret over how he feels about what I'm, how I'm seeing him, and what I'm doing, and not what the people see and think. Yeah.
Amen.
So that ministered to me. And, you know, does it mean I never knew it? No, but I didn't know it today at this time.
That's right. You needed it now. You needed it now.
That's right.
And I don't know. I don't know if there's people listening that are just depressed or just not. I don't know. I sense the joy and I just feel so much joy in here from these ladies. But I know what it's like to be in the dark and to hear other people laughing and other people in the joy.
Right. We do too.
And yes, everybody here does, because we were all once there. But I just want to encourage people that what was it that the Lord spoke to you? This won't be.
That's not the end of it.
Mm-hmm. That's not the end of it. Yeah. That speaks to the ones that are listening, that maybe you're trying with everything you have to, like, oh, man, I just want that joy. You can have it, because where you're at is not the end of it. It does not have to be the end of it.
It's like it's that place of, again, you have to find it. You have to move toward it. It's there waiting. The joy is there waiting.
What was it you said? I thought my goodness and mercy was following me.
Where's my goodness and mercy? It's supposed to be following me.
It's laying around here somewhere.
We got to find it.
Yeah. It reminds me of that. I got so excited about this one time. I found it on the back of a bulletin here at Bethel. But it was the scripture in Exodus about Moses. You know, when he saw something up on the side of the mountain, he goes, I'm going to turn aside to see.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and he turned aside, and look what happened in Moses' life, because he turned aside to see.
Amen.
And he didn't know what he was going to step into up there, but he turned aside. Wow. And see, that's the thing with us. We just need to stop thinking we're going to get it, we're going to pursue it, we can bring it to ourselves. We just need to turn aside and see.
Amen. You notice that all the joy you're talking about, and we're in here cutting up laughing and look what the Lord has done and dancing and carrying on. And is that real? Yes, it is. And somebody might say, well, nobody can be that happy all the time. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Is your strength.
Do you notice that none of us had anything to talk, none of us said anything today about our problems? Now, do we have problems? I promise you, I have problems. I have stuff.
I've got
problems. And if I want to sit down and think about my stuff and my problems and all that, then this thing can go in another direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what we've chose to do is lift him
up.
We exalted him in this room.
Talk about
what,
him.
What happened to us, huh? And we rehearsed some victories, and we started talking about some things the Lord showed us. And next thing you know, the room, the height in here, I mean, it's
the
full.
Atmosphere changes. Yeah. I mean, it literally changed from 0 to 100.
Yeah. That's right. And then.
Okay, maybe not zero. I won't say we started out zero.
We didn't start
but you
out
know
zero.
What I mean.
What's she saying about you, Aaron? I mean,
no.
She said we started at zero.
I'm used to it, Hannah. Don't worry. I'm used to it, Hannah.
And honestly, that might just be me. I might have been zero. Truly.
I'm going to stand up for Aaron here for a minute. It started pretty quick.
Yeah, it did.
You know, it did. Every time anybody starts talking about you and bacon, I defend you, brother.
No, that was not. No, I mean, but seriously, because, and I don't know about you all, but for me, I might have been the zero, because even when we started talking about these things, problems started coming to my mind, like my own problems and negative things. But I have to choose to not dwell on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So even when I'm reminded, like Hannah, or whether I don't know if it's the enemy saying it or myself, it could be either one, because either one is nothing compared to the Lord's going to remind me of the true things and the light, not all the things that are wrong. He's going to show me how to get out of the things that are wrong.
Right.
The solution instead of all the problems. But I have to choose not to just keep thinking about those problems.
That's right.
Or the things that, Hannah, you're not doing this good enough. You're not doing this good enough. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really struggling here. Like, he'll allow us to see those things, but he's not just going to leave us there.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to show us the way out.
Yeah. Here's the temptation. This is where we separate people pleasing from serving the Lord and worrying about how he sees us. The temptation is we're going through something. People know we're going through something. Mm-hmm. I can't be full of the joy of the Lord right now. Everybody knows there's a big problem at my house, so I have to play the part mm-hmm. in front of everybody. I have to have a sad countenance.
No.
I have to be struggling because everybody knows this happened to me.
That's right.
Yeah, and see, when you come through the door and somebody say, well, you're not facing reality. Mm. I'm facing the most reality I
can
face.
Can't get any brighter.
What have I done? Mm-hmm. I've chose to look at the Lord and what he has mm-hmm. done versus mm-hmm. what's happening to mm-hmm. me right now. And the joy of the Lord is springing up inside of me. It has nothing to do with the fact that there's a problem here.
Yeah.
We just bypassed it. We just bypassed it. I'm going to go on and sit in my chair next to him.
Because what good is it going to do to just dwell on the problem? It's right. going to, for one, keep us in a negative place, but it's not going to show other people mm-hmm. his power well, and his goodness. Because other people, when we have joy, and despite with all those things they right. know about us, they're going to be able to say, how in the world are they rejoicing mm-hmm. right now?
Or they accuse us of being fake.
You know, this yeah. thing, you're talking about what you were just saying there. The thing is, I have found out that God can do more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he can spend time with me, and at the same time he's doing that, he's back there working on my stuff I brought with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when he and I get, you know, we get up and we start moving towards something else, it's like, huh. Wonder what happened to that.
And he can work on my stuff and your stuff at the same
time. At the same time.
So I don't got to worry about your stuff.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's incredible how much he can do.
Walk in the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Walk after him.
That's right.
Walk, spend today being sensitive to his Spirit, right? Okay, well, maybe you've never done that. Well, start talking.
That's right. Well,
yeah.
Lord, I want to hear you. I want you to guide me today. You said you'd lead and guide me. I want to hear you guiding me. I want to catch everything, you know, and whatever. But start focusing your attention that way and see what happens.
That's
I mean,
right.
I literally walk out my door sometimes, y'all, just to see if the Lord wants to call on me for something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. And it's become this great adventure with him.
Wow.
It really has.
And that's what it is. It's an adventure.
It is.
Yeah.
But what happens to your problems? You forget them.
That's
now,
right.
You might pick them back up when you come back home, but for now, they have no power.
And they're different when you come back home.
They are.
They're different.
Because they can't outdo what he just did.
That's right.
Amen.
Man.
Yeah. You know what story? We talked about the story a couple of weeks ago, but I'm reminded of it because when you are talking about this, not focusing on the problems, you know, I'm reminded of the story of the crippled man who's sitting by the water waiting for somebody to put him in. And, you know, once a year, whatever it was, the angels trouble the water. You can say a lot of things on that verse. But Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be healed? And he said, I've got no one. He said, I've got no one to put me in. He's going to make excuses. And so often what we do in life is we look at our problem and we say, we got no one to get me out of it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to wallow in my problem. And the problem dominated this man. And here's what I love about Jesus. After he says, do you want to be healed? The man said, you know, I have no one to put me in the water. And while I'm going down another steps in front of me, he says, somebody always beats me to the breakthrough. And but this is what Jesus said. Dude, get up, take up your bed and walk. He does not do this profound prayer. He does not do anything like that. He doesn't shake him or rattle him. He just says, hey, it's time to get up and walk. I can't walk, sir. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine that? He's never walked before.
That's
he said,
right.
Do you not understand? I can't walk. Because Jesus don't see your problem. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, your problem is not his bondage. He's just telling you, get up and walk. And he says, if you'll get up and walk and take that first step, I will be with you. And he said, at once the man was healed and he took up his bed and walked. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I bet the man tried to get up.
I do too.
The man tried. If he told me to get up, I'll get up because he's looking at me and he has a different authority about
That's
him.
Right.
So I may not be able to get up all the way, but I'm going to get up. And I think the Lord's speaking to somebody today. You're waiting for somebody
yep.
to come by and pick you up. You're waiting for somebody to come up and you're just thinking the government's going to do it. This is going to do it. This person's
right.
going to do it. Somebody. Yep. And I think the Lord's speaking to somebody. Just get up. Just
get up.
Stop sitting in your corner staring at your problem and just start to get up. And I'm not saying pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I'm not saying do better like religion. I'm saying just Get up.
Come to the Lord. Go after the Lord.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. And, because it's easy to stare at the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's what culture wants us to do, just sit there and stare at our problems and stare at this. And we make movies about it, and we make this about it, and we sell it, and we say, just, it's so awful out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, we look at this, and even during this moment of, like, historic flood and people losing things and lives being lost, I never want to minimize that. But we fall victim. That's all we think about.
That's right.
The problem. And I love Jesus in the storm, because everybody else is staring at the storm, and he's asleep. Mm-hmm. He's asleep. Because the storm, it doesn't mean the storm's not there. It just means that he has a peace that surpasses the storm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people today probably thought, that genie, you know, I can almost hear them,
mm-hmm.
you know. That she just, you know, she takes things too far.
Yeah.
There, I walked out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know why? I wanted it.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
I mean, I just wanted it.
Yeah.
And you got to come to that place.
Mm-hmm. Where you want
it. You want him, and you want what he's provided for you bad enough that you're going to break away from the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming after him.
Yeah.
You got to be careful what you put my in front of.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah,
you got to be real careful about what you claim to be yours.
Yeah,
because if you're going to lay claim to it, it's going to be yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that say, my this, my that, my. And that's the world we live in today. My. But you better be careful about what you lay claim to.
Yep.
Yeah, this is my hope.
This is
my joy.
That's yeah. right.
This
That's
is
right.
my strength.
That's Ooh, right.
We start talking.
About Have you all ever been in a situation to where everybody else is like in freak out mode? Everybody else is like, and they're looking at you, go, why are you not freaking
now,
out? And I'm like, I don't know. I just got a peace. The waters may be rising. I just got a peace. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is this aspect of life, and we talked about this Sunday morning. There's a stretching, mm-hmm. and sooner or later, we're going to have to figure out which side we're going to be stretched to. Because right now we're trying to hold on to both,
sides,
and
yeah.
it hurts.
That's right.
It really starts to hurt, and sooner or later it will rip you apart.
That's right.
Not trying to be vulgar, but it will.
Yeah, it will.
Sooner or later you're going to have to let go of one.
You have to let go of one of them.
Yeah. And which side are you going to let go of? Your problems? Mm-hmm. Your issues? Because I'm telling you what, you want to talk about problems, go to the grocery store with the big family. We went yesterday, and I was tearing up as every time I heard the beep, beep. This hurts. Iris looks at me and goes, Dad, do you think we should put some back? I don't know if we can afford this. I said, I don't either, but we got to have it. I said, we have one who can. But it is. It's easy to look at the problems today. But it's much more difficult sometimes to take a nap while everybody else is looking
that's
at the
right.
storm.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where God's calling mm-hmm. us to. Peace.
Right.
Peace and joy and celebrating.
I love telling this story. It's true. And my girl is 36 years old now. So this is when she was like 6 or 7. But we had a storm, a big one. Well, actually, still to this day, one of the worst ones we've had since we lived here. And I was fretting because back then I didn't have a basement to go to. I didn't have anything. And I couldn't decide what to do with this child. Do I go out there and take the ditch that water's running through? Because I thought the house was going to blow away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were there. And I'm just fretting over it. I just didn't know what to do. And I'm pacing. And my little girl says to me, Mommy, didn't Jesus just tell the storm to be still?
Mm-hmm. That's where you need an organ right there.
You know what I did? Yeah. We went in there and knelt down at the bed.
Uh-huh. Come on.
And we put it in his hands, and we never worried about it another minute.
That's right.
Mm.
Whoo, but she became my teacher that day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Out of the mouths of babes.
I mean, but you know, I had taught her to do that, but I wasn't resting in it myself.
That's mm-hmm. right.
There was the other night, that reminds me of a little girl who her mom said, yep, every time it storms, she brings her Bible with her. She starts praying out the scriptures and talking about the peace be still and everything. And I'm like, you know what? What if we brought our Bible with us? What if we brought the Word of God with us
mm-hmm.
instead of the news all the time?
Right.
That's right. Because that news will take you down.
If we spend as much time listening to the Lord's Word, versus how many times we replay what the weather's going to do today,
uh-huh.
you know, You might find a little joy up in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the we'll see, everybody's over Wednesday night during the storms and stuff like that. We were hanging out and figured if it was going to sweep us away, it might as well sweep us away together. And so, but when the storms hit, I'm on my front porch laying on my swing, just kind of rocking back and forth, watching the wind blow. Because I do think, and I'm not saying that's like, I'm not saying tempt the Lord your God, but I remember being a 11 or 12 year old boy and hiding in closets when it stormed.
Right.
Petrified, scared to death. And now the Lord's just given me a peace. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't get scared over weather. I don't get scared. And it's not, there's other things I fear about. Like, I'm not saying that there's not these other things, but I know the Lord can give you a peace about the weather. But, you know, use wisdom, of course.
Yeah, I went over and got in my neighbor's basement at one point. Mm-hmm. That Sunday
we got
night.
In a closet, but you know, I wasn't, there's been times where I've been, like, so afraid of dying at that moment. Like, so afraid of everything being destroyed. But now it's like, okay, if it gets destroyed, the Lord will take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can hear him say, and then what?
Yeah.
And then now I have a baby, so it's like, what if something happens to your baby? And they're like, well, I know where he's going.
That's a big deal. What it really is. Right there.
It's a real big deal.
I was watching it for everybody. I was keeping everybody updated Sunday night. As I was watching the tornado in the background, I'm just sitting on the front porch. I watched the whole thing. I was outside pretty much the whole time. And so it is, you know, but all that to say this is not like I could be a tornado chaser. I would love it. Like, I could do that. I could put me in one of those little vehicles, Arkansas or Oklahoma. I'm there. Like, let's go. Let's do this in a heartbeat. But all this morning is to say this, like, there's real things you're facing and there's real problems that's really detrimental to your health, detrimental to your family. There's real concerns in the economy. Trust me, I understand what it's like to figure out how do you feed your family. I'm looking for every part-time odd job I can do. Why? Not because we're trying to live lavishly. We're trying to feed the family. Like, it's tough today. It is very tough and it's hard. But that's not our focal point, because the moment you settle down instead of keep climbing up is the moment that you are a Zacchaeus that can't get his attention. Mm-hmm. But the moment you climb the sycamore tree and you say, son of David, he'll go home and feast with you. He'll sup with you. You got to climb. You got to rise, not fall. And you've got to get out of the mess and you got to get out of your predicament and not by yourself. This is what Jesus said, get up and walk. And I don't know if I can. He says, get up. Because when you get up, he's with you, my friend. Yeah.
There's another scripture that comes to my mind right now and you'll be familiar with. But he told Martha, he said, you're worried about a lot of things. There's only one thing that's needful. Mary chose it. What was it? She sat at his feet to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
If you want to sit at the feet of your Bible to hear what he has to say.
That's right.
That's right. We are out of time. Can you believe it? 2 hours already.
And until next week, you raise your hallelujah.
Absolutely. All right. Me and Hannah's going to go grocery shopping with them. We'll see y'all later. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.